A lorry on the start of a long journey from England to Bosnia, or it could just as easily be Albania, Kosovo, Romania, or over the last 20 plus years, a myriad of other locations. David Balderstone works in a voluntary capacity as transport manager for ADRA UK.
There was an old lady, and she gave me a packet of a small carrier bag of soup. And then normally, all those sort of things, they get put into boxes and get packed up. But I just put it inside the warehouse, just by the door. And just as I was leaving to go on the next trip, I suddenly saw it there, and the truck was already loaded. So I just grabbed it, and I stuck it in the corner of my cab. And when I got out to Sarajevo, thousands of people milling around the warehouse there, waiting to receive things. But it was a very orderly system they had out there. It was all done on identification papers. In the gathering dusk, I saw a commotion in this crowd of people. There was an old lady there, and she was crying and, you know, obviously very upset. And so I asked somebody what the trouble was, and she said, well, this lady had come in through the front lines, been travelling for 3 days, to get some food, and she just wanted to get food, but she hadn't gone through the identification paper procedure, and she wouldn't be able to get any until the following day. And she was very upset, and, you know, naturally so, very hungry. And I suddenly thought, that carrier bag of soup that old lady in England gave me, if I gave her that, she can mix it with water, and, you know, it gives her something to eat tonight. And so I was able to give it to her, and, you know, the joy on her face was great. Now, you know, for me that was tremendous, because there's an old lady in England, there's an old lady over there. This is what ADRA's about, people helping people. And me, wasn't I fortunate just to be in the position to be able to sort of be the facilitator.
One of the many heartwarming stories that David can tell, but I really wanted to get under his skin to see what made him tick. David is a successful businessman with interests in landscape gardening, building, engineering, as well as healthcare. His day starts early and ends late, and yet he finds himself giving a substantial portion of his time to relief and development work.
Yeah, I actually grew up as a Christian, has given me a set of values, I think, which has guided me through my life, and which I'm very pleased I got brought up as a Christian anyway.
That set of values that you say you have, does that affect the fact that, you know, you've told me you're a very busy businessman, and yet there's a considerable part of your time that you actually volunteer working for ADRA? How did you get involved with that?
I first got involved many years ago when I volunteered to do some relief work in Biafra during the middle of the war there, civil war there. And it's the first time I saw, you know, human suffering on a large scale, and it's the first time I ever got held up gunpoint, and, you know, the first time I had saw masses of people on the move away from fighting. And I always wanted to be a missionary, so, you know, that sort of, to some extent, fulfilled that ambition, but it also gave me a great feeling that, you know, I wanted to put something back, if you like, for, well, really all the good times that I have. More recently, I've been involved in development work in Zimbabwe and Nicaragua, Pakistan, and, you know, where we've helped build schools and old sewer systems and things like that. But more recently, I've been involved in running truckloads of humanitarian aid into Bosnia, and I've been doing that all the way through the war, and I've actually been delivered aid to all sides of the war, people over there, and, you know, at times it's been quite dangerous.
I have to ask you, you know, why do you do it? What makes you want to drive into life-threatening areas like that?
Really, I suppose I just feel that I've been blessed in life. I live in a peaceful country. I've got a good family. I still talk to my kids. I've got a good business. I've got a good standard of, you know, good standard of living. And I just think that, you know, we all ought to share our blessings while we've got them. And so this is maybe my way of trying to put something back. It's very, very satisfying.
Some cynical people might say, well, this is a man who's got everything. He can do what he likes, and he just needs something for, you know, give him a bit of adrenaline, a bit of a thrill. How would you respond to them?
I don't really know how to respond to that. I just feel blessed. I just feel that, you know, I ought to share those blessings while I've got them. I don't know what's going to come tomorrow. And, you know, I would hate to get old and look back over my life and think to myself, I could have done this, I could have done that, I could have helped out here, I could have helped out there. When I've seen people families suffering so much in some of these bad, bad situations, you know, I just think to myself, you know, what if that were my family? How would I cope? How would they cope if they were in those situations? And that's a motivation which just drives me on all the time. You know, I still can't get away from the fact there's so much suffering. But the thing is, I'm a positive person, and I've got to look at those things and sort of say, well, look, God's talking to me. He's telling me, you know, these things, you know, I'm listening, I'm around, you know, and I'm beginning to listen more. And I realise that God is there all the time. It's just a question of where I am. Even though I've seen some pretty horrible things, there is a good side of things as well as a bad side. And I sort of tend to rely on God a little bit more now for some of the ordinary things of life, and don't worry too much. And I mean, good things will happen, bad things will happen, but, you know, at least if I sort of rely on God, then at least I've got a power outside myself, which it helps me